I love talking to Ross Baker, my idea of what a political scientist should be. Distinguished professor at political science at Rutgers University, and he is a guy who really knows a great deal about all of it. So let me start with the big word of the century, Bob Mueller. That's a question.
It's two words. Yes, Bob Mueller, a remarkable guy whose invisibility is a strength, is the source of his strength. He has proven himself remarkably disciplined in not responding to anything that Donald Trump has tweeted. And in doing so, I think he has protected the integrity of the special counsel's office. And I think that despite the many attacks on him, I think that when his report is finally issued, I think it will have an extraordinary degree of credibility.
You know, there's a lot of guessing game here as to what's going to happen. Is there the potential for what we might call a constitutional crisis coming out of all of this?
I think people are doing what they have to do, particularly the special counsel's group in Washington. But also, I think that we have to pay some attention to the remarkable job done by the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Southern District of New York.
Amazing, isn't it? Amazing.
It is. These are the career attorneys who are located in the U.S. Attorney's Office in Manhattan. And it is, in a sense, it's the Vatican of the American judicial system below the level of the Supreme Court itself. And it's quite interesting because, in a very strange way, Mueller's secrecy and the tendency of the media to concentrate on Mueller, in a sense, gave the attorneys in the Southern District of New York the cover, the distraction to do their job going after Michael Cohen, the president's lawyer. And in some ways, they may end up doing more damage to President Trump than even Mueller and his report.
Now, Mueller is obviously playing a very cagey game. He can do whatever he wants. Obviously, he has that kind of power and that kind of mandate. But he did hand a good deal of this stuff over to the Southern District. What do you make of that?
He did, and I think it was basically a head fake. I think it was directing the president's attention solely to him. You know, he was willing to take the incoming fire and resist it. While the president totally ignored what was going on in Manhattan, which from the point of view of the people who were trying to basically figure out the relationship between Trump and Cohen, and particularly in relationship to the money paid to two women, which turned out to be apparently violations of campaign finance laws, have resulted in the president being, in effect, an unindicted co-conspirator. So while everybody's attention, including the president's, was focused on Mueller, here were these attorneys up in New York doing their job, getting Michael Cohen to plead guilty to offenses, some of which are unrelated to President Trump. He had his own tax problems. But I think this is a splendid example of the U.S. judicial system working as it should.
Well, but you know, the president must have known that there was potential in the Southern District giving him a hard time. The reason I say that is because he interviewed Preet Bharara's replacement. He went to all of that trouble, and as far as I know, he was the only one he interviewed.
Well, that's true, but I think at the same time, I think he was mesmerized by Mueller. I don't remember a single tweet directed at the U.S. attorney in Manhattan. I think all of his attention, all of his anger was directed at Mueller.
Yeah.
I think gave them the opportunity to do their work without being the subject of a tweet storm.
Now, you're not as old as I am, but you're older now. And my question is, you've seen a lot of them come and go. How do you think Trump is doing 2 years in?
Well, I mean, it's certainly a unique presidency. I can't find, I don't think anyone can find an exact parallel to it, largely in terms of the ignorance of President Trump as to the powers of his job. I mean, he has no sense that there are limits. He believes, in effect, that he can rule by decree, that executive orders are something that he can use with complete abandon. And one of the reasons why he can't keep chiefs of staff is it's their job to tell the president what he's trying to do is unconstitutional, which doesn't exactly make him popular with the president. There has to be somebody there who tells a president who is completely unlettered in the Constitution what his constitutional limits are.
We're watching this guy, and there are many people, I'm one of them, who think that if he had his way based on his admiration for dictators, Putins and Duterte's and all these other guys, that he would lead us down the same path to a sort of a fascism or totalitarianism. I don't know how you feel about that, but is there a chance that that could happen in this country?
I think it's unlikely. I mean, I think I'd characterize his administration more as kind of personalistic, more than even ideological. It's someone who finds himself with a great deal of power, but with a very, very primitive understanding of what its limits are. He's a man with no fixed principles. I don't believe he would know the difference between fascism and vegetarianism.
Do you think that there's a chance that a sitting president of the United States could be indicted?
Well, of course, there's a divided opinion on that, and I just heard an interview with Neil Katyal, who was, of course, the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York during the time of the Clinton impeachment, and he said that there's no question that the president can be indicted, probably not subject to a trial while he was in office, that a president having to face prosecution while in office would simply incapacitate the office of the presidency, but that he would be subject to prosecution after he left office.
Okay, there are many people who think that the Democrats are playing their cards exactly correctly because he led them, obviously, to the Democrats taking the House by a larger-than-thought majority. So would they make a mistake to impeach him?
Yes, I think they would. I think it's certainly premature to talk about it, and the Democrats have really, really backed off on it.
Mm-hmm.
There are things he's done which are illegal, certainly in terms of campaign contributions. But whether or not that strikes at the foundation of the republic, I think is really quite another thing. And I think that impeachment should be reserved for essentially an effort to use presidential power, to not just illegal ends, but unconstitutional ends.
It's always my pleasure to talk to an old friend, Ross K. Baker, Distinguished Professor of Political Science at Rutgers University, a very wise man. And Ross, I so thank you for taking all of your valuable time to talk to us. It's just great to see you and talk to you again.
It's always a pleasure to be with you on WAMC.